When we found out we were pregnant, we were quite excited because it was going to be the first grandkid on either side of the family.
So we had a special lunch and called both of our parents to our house, and we actually gave them each a sippy cup so that they could come to their own conclusions about what the lunch was about.
We did want to have our children here on the mission field because one of the big advantages is that they get dual citizenship, which makes it wonderful for when they become missionaries, they can go wherever they need to go, and it makes it much easier.
So I was excited about teaching my kids all about being a missionary and how fun it is and how there's not a better place in the world to be and how exciting we live on the Amazon. Very few people actually get to ever visit the Amazon.
No, as far as having the child here on the mission field, I had not really thought too much more about it. I mean, I know that they were getting everything ready here, the baby room, all the different things that you get ready when you have a kid.
Well, I started to go into labor in the middle of the night, which I think everyone always goes in the middle of the night. So I called my mom, and she was going to actually be in the delivery room with me because my husband, if he thinks he sees blood, he'll pass out. So he wasn't even an option to be my birthing partner. Well, we went to the hospital. I spent the night in labor, and the doctor came in and said, "Oh, Ruth, you're not dilating, so if you don't dilate by 6 a.m., we're just going to plan a C-section." Well, come 6 a.m., my mom calls Nate, calls my dad, calls my in-laws, and says, "Oh, Ruth's going to go into surgery. They're going to deliver this baby, so in a couple hours, we'll have our first granddaughter." Right before I went into surgery, we heard the heartbeat of the baby. They just wanted to check and make sure everything was fine, and everything was fine, her heart rate was normal. So they wheeled me in. My mom was like, "Oh, okay, they're cutting the last layer. Here comes the baby." And when the baby finally came out, we just didn't hear her cry. And I knew that there was something wrong. And my mom just kept praying and saying, "The baby's not breathing." So I wanted to die at that moment because it was something I'd waited for so long.
I remember I was sitting out in the waiting room with my mother, and a nurse came out, and she was crying. She said, "You really have to pray because the baby's not breathing." And it just kind of, I didn't even know what to think. It was just kind of like a daze, that whole thing. And to find out that actually she never did breathe.
You know, all my dreams at that moment were just shattered because, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. I was working, I was serving God, and it just didn't make sense. It didn't make any sense.
That whole thing, that whole time was just kind of a whirlwind because something that comes out of left field, everything was fine. We just still don't know why she never breathed, but we had a funeral that very day because that's the way they do it in Brazil, and we had named her Anna Rebecca after our mothers. It was just a day that was supposed to be your biggest day of joy was really the hardest day that you've ever experienced.
And it was very, very tough. And then I was so sick. I mean, I almost died in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 9 days. And it was just, you know, every night I cried myself to sleep. I just could not understand why that would happen.
When came time for our cell group, which we have, I had already lined it up for one of my disciples to take over the cell group. And God spoke with me, "Go to the cell group, share your story."
So I had lost the baby on Thursday, so Saturday he came to the cell group and he just shared his heart.
I remember talking about the love of the Father, which the love of the Father says live. And there was visitors there that night. And through our pain, really, God used it to win them for the Lord. And really, some of the first people we won for the Lord in Brazil was right after we lost our daughter.
During the next couple months, and, you know, it was very, very tough. Every time I saw a baby, it just made me cry. I didn't want to hold babies. I didn't want to look at babies. But I just, you know, had to cling to God and just know that He was my strength and He was going to get me through each day. And, you know, I had to rejoice in the Lord always.
The sense we really had is that we were walking through a pretty place, but nothing spectacular. We came to the edge of a really big desert, and it was a desert we had to cross. And it was like we knew there was this beautiful mountain range, this beautiful place on the other side, but we could not see it. It was all we could see and feel was that heat of the desert, that dry time, that hard time.
Obviously, I wasn't going to find strength in myself because I just had no more strength left. And during those days, you know, we just really dove into the Word of God and looked at God's promises.
And the Word came alive in our lives like it never has before. And something tremendous happened in us. We went to a level of faith that we had never experienced before, and a level of joy that we had never experienced before. And now we really feel like, after all that's happened in our lives, that we've reached that beautiful mountain range and we're starting to climb it now. And we don't even know how high that mountain range is and how beautiful it will be once we get to the top. But we know it's even greater than anything that we've passed through so far.
So the day that Anna Rebecca died, in my mom's yard, she had a flower that bloomed for the first time and it came up with two blossoms. So in a way, the ongoing joke was, oh, Ruth, this flower gave two blossoms, your next kids are gonna be twins. So, you know, we just kind of all laughed about it. Well, wouldn't you know?
What we pass through has really strengthened us for the work that God has called us to, and He has created in us a heart that is so sensitive to people who are suffering. What I found really amazing during that time is the amount of people, Christians and non-Christians alike, that said they saw Jesus in our lives. They came to comfort us, and we heard testimonies of people that went away and they were comforted, and they saw that there is a hope for those who have Christ. It really is a testimony to God's grace in our lives at that time, to His glory, what He was doing, how He was using our lives, our story, in a time of most suffering to impact the lives of others.
And from then on, Nate's been able to really share our story around the country, and I've been able to share with people that have lost kids. So even through our hardship, God is being glorified and people are coming to know Christ. And we may have lost a daughter, but we're going to gain tons of spiritual kids through all this. And someday in eternity, we'll see our daughter, plus we'll see all these people that have come to know the Lord through our story.